Okay, this week is Parshas and Sama Vayeilach. It's the last Shabbos of the year. And the Parsha starts off after Mitzvah Hayoyim Kuchem Lefnei Hashem Elokeichem. So we'll start off with a sharp word from the Sfasemis. The Sfasemis was a little boy. Somebody asked him, Mitzvah Vayeilach, how could they go together? Mitzvah means to stand. Avayelach means to go. How can they put the two parshas together? To stand and to go. So as a boy, the Sfasemis answered, we know that the whole Chumash Devarim is a sefer Musa. Moshe Rabbeinu is giving Musa to Bnei Yisrael. So you have to read the Psukim in the following. Moshe said to Bnei Yisrael, At Mitzvah Hayoyim? You're standing still today? Vayelach. A person is not supposed to stand still. Vayelach. A person is supposed to go. A person is supposed to do. Learn Vayelach Moshe. Learn from Moshe Rabbeinu to be a Vayelach. One who goes and one who does. But a person is not supposed to be standing still. A person is always supposed to accomplish and blow.
Next week is Rosh Hashanah.
Zoya, right now? It's known. The Zoya Kodesh brings down Atem Nitzav Hayoim. Hayoim refers to Rosh Hashanah.
And
every year, without fear, we rain Nitzavim Vayelach right before Rosh Hashanah. It's right this time of year. Atem Nitzavim Hayoim. You're standing today on that day of Rosh Hashanah. Kuchem, everyone stands with Nei Hashem Olkechem. Everyone is judged and stands before Hashem. Rosheichem, Shefteichem, the heads, Zikneichem, the elders, Shetreichem, Kol Rosh Yisrael, everybody stands. Mechayte Vatzachem, Tapchem, your children, the Sheichem, the Geiricha, Shebekarib Machanecha, Mechayte Vatzachem, from those that chop the wood, Ashreb Mimecha, till the water carriers. Hayoim, on that day of Rosh Hashanah, everyone stands in judgment before Hashem. Rashi brings down, what's the connection between the end of last week's parasha and Parshas Nitzavim? Kisavoy ends off with the klala, ends off with the teichacha. 98 klalois. It seems very depressing in a sense, very sad. It's brought down. The Gemara Megillah brings down the reason why we read Kisavoy before Rosh Hashanah to be teichacha Shana Kiloi Seha. The year in its klalois should end, and a new year should start with bracha. Atem Nitzavim Hayoim. What happened? The Yidden came to Moshe and said to Moshe Rabbeinu, how are we going to survive? If we make one wrong move, there's 98 chalas still waiting to, that way to take effect. How could we survive? The Yidden were very down. Atem Nitzavim. So Moshe told them back, Atem Nitzavim Hayoim. Don't worry, you're standing in front of Hashem. You sinned many times before Hashem, and look, after Mitzvah Hayoyim, you're standing today. Okay. Still a little hard to understand. So, Rabbi Lapian explains very nicely. They said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe, 98 klolos, we do an Aveira, it's finished. How can we stand? Moshe told them, no, don't worry, you're standing before Hashem. What was Moshe Rabbeinu's answer? What's the purpose of the klolos? What's the purpose of a punishment of Yisurim? The purpose is to hurt a person. The purpose is to change a person. A person should realize that he needs to change. He has to improve himself, change his ways. So sometimes he has Yisurim, an einish, a threat, a klola, a scare, a fright, in order to do tshuva. The Gra compares a Yisurim to a farmer who has to turn over the soil. Before you're able to plant, you have to soften up the soil. If the soil is hard, you can't plant. You have to soften up the ground in order to be able to plant. So too, in order for tshuva to grow in a person's heart, Hashem has to soften up the hard heart of a person. Has Hashem softened up a person's hard heart? A little scared, a little fright, time to do tshuva, a wake-up call. So a person has that softness that arouses him to do tshuva. Moshe Rabbeinu answered back to Bnei Yisrael, he said, Atem Nitzavim Hayoim, you have nothing to worry about. The fact that you're afraid of the klolos itself, the fact that you're worried about doing an aveda because you see what the einish can be, that in itself shows that you already did tshuva. That shows that you're not going to do the aveda. The fact that you're afraid of the klolos itself, the klolos already accomplished its purpose. So there's no, you don't have to worry about the Kuala happening, because since you took the threats, the Kuala seriously, and it affected you to the point that you're concerned about it, you're going to watch yourself, you're going to do tshuva, there's no need to worry about the actual Kuala happening. That was Moshe Rabbeinu's teretz. Atam itzav mayoyim. Look, you're standing today, you're coming to me today, and you're worried about it. That's good for the purpose of the Kuala. Once you're worried about it, the Kuala accomplished its purpose. You did tshuva. Okay, but the fact that you learned about it, hopefully that will stay with you, or remain with a person, and a person won't sin. So Moshe Rabbeinu was answering Ben Yisrael, the fact that you're standing here today, and you're worried about the Kuala, you're taking it to heart, that's the purpose of the Kuala. If that's the case, there's no need for the actual Kuala to happen. As long as a person is serious and takes it to heart, it accomplished its job, it did its job, and therefore, you don't have to worry about the actual Kuala. The pasuk says later on, "Umar Hashem alkecha eslevavucha v'slevav zarecha." And Perek Lamed pasuk Vav, Hashem will be more. Hashem will unstuff. Hashem will cleanse your heart and the heart of your children. And we all know Rosh Tevis eslevavucha v'slevav is Aleph Lamed Vav Lamed. It spells out Elul. One of the Muslim for Chodesh Elul is a Chodesh to do tshuva. Duno Magna is a very nice marshal. It will sound very similar to a famous story, but only at the beginning. So bear with the story and don't say, oh, I know it right away. Okay? There was a Yid who was traveling and he's staying in a certain hotel far away from home. And he's staying in the hotel and he falls asleep at night and he has a dream. And in his dream, that he hears is a big treasure buried in the yard of the hotel. Right behind the hotel in the yard is a big treasure buried. And he hears that, and in his dream he's all excited. So in his dream, he quickly gets dressed, and he goes outside, and he finds a shovel, and he starts digging in the wee hours of the morning when nobody's around. He starts digging and digging, and lo and behold, he hits some metal, and he digs, and there's a big treasure chest filled with gold and silver and diamonds. And he's so happy he found the treasure. And in his dream, he's thinking, what should he do? If he's going to try to lift it and take it now, somebody's going to see him. The owner of the hotel is going to realize someone's digging in his yard and they'll take it all away. So he decides right then and there that he's going to leave it and he'll have to think what to do. And in his dream, he covers it back over again. X marks the spot and he doesn't say a word. He wakes up the next morning, and to him it was as real as could be. And he's all excited about the treasure in the yard. He decides that he can't take it now because they'll see him take it and they'll confiscate it. The only answer is he'll go back home. He's going to have to sell his house and he's going to come back to the hotel and offer to buy the hotel from the owner, and now that he buys the hotel, the treasure becomes his. And no matter what price the hotel owner charges,
it's worth it
because, after all, there's millions waiting for him. He goes home, he tells his wife and his family about the great treasure that he found, and they're all excited. And puts the house on the market very fast, sells it for whatever price, he doesn't care, because after all, in a few days he'll be a multimillionaire. And he packs up the whole family and all of their belongings, and they leave. He comes back to the hotel, he says to the owner, I want to buy the hotel. It's not for sale. Name your price. Whatever price you want, I'll pay. And the hotel owner names him a very exorbitant amount. No problem, because after all, the gold and silver treasure is waiting for him. And he signs the papers, and he agrees to buy the hotel. That night, he goes out with his children, and they take the shovels and they start digging, X marks the spot. And they dig, and they dig, and they dig, and there's nothing there. And they say to their father, there's nothing here, you sure it's the right spot? He says, yes, it was right here, in my dream! And then it hits him that it was only a dream. It wasn't reality. And everything he had done was based upon a dream. No, the Nimshah doesn't need too much explaining. Says it to the Magid, isn't that us? We go through this world with our dream about this type of and that COVID, and I ate this, and our chalimus, and all of our hard work, and all of our aspirations for Olam Hazeh. And what happens later on? It's only a dream. It's only a dream. Instead of using our kaiches for what we should use it for, we'll use it for our chalomis, for our dreams in this world. Elul is a month where a person, can calls to Hashem. Hashem is ready to cleanse us if we want, if we ask. And they say with the story that the Tsar Nicholas used to dress up like common folk, like a farmer many times, and mix with the people to hear what they thought of him. And he was incognito in disguise, and he would ask people what they thought of the king, and what their wishes are, what they need, and that's how he found out what people really were thinking behind the scenes. And Tsar Nicholas once is dressed as a farmer, and he comes into a certain village, and he meets a group of four people staying together, and he says to them, what's new in the town? He says to them, you know, tell me something. If the Tsar would be here, what would you ask the Tsar for? What wish do you have? What are your wishes? What would you ask the Tsar for? Strange question. First one says, you know, I need a field. The soil of my field is no good. The crops aren't growing. I would ask the king for a nice, large field, a big field that I could grow my crops on. And he says to the second one, what would you ask the Tsar for? He says, me? I need a house to live in. My house is too small. I would ask the king for a mansion, a palace to live in. And he says to the third one, what would you ask for? And he says, I need clothing, I need parnasa, I need for my family, I need a treasure. Please, I would ask the king for a treasure to help take care of all my needs. And he says to the fourth one, what about you? The fourth one says, would you stop wasting our time? The Tsar is not here, stop wasting our time. The Tsar will be here, fine, but the Tsar is not here, there's no need to tell you what I would ask for, you're wasting our time, please leave us alone and go away. And Tsar Nicholas goes away. The next day, he comes into town in the royal coach, and he calls over all four. The first one, he presents with a field. The second one, he presents him with a mansion. The third one, with a treasure. And the fourth one, he says,
nothing.
You lost your chance. You had the chance. You didn't take advantage of it. You lost it.
Now he's here. I'll ask.
No, it's too late.
Too late.
Chodesh Elul, Hashem is out in the fields. Hashem is out. He comes down. Hashem is out in the fields. He's waiting for us. It's time to ask. Use the time that we have. It's time to work on ourselves and to ask. The Chofetz Chaim said, tonight's the Chofetz Chaim's yard site. Chofetz Chaim said, Zechreinu l'chaim, melech chofetz b'chaim. We ask Hashem for a life that the king wants. In other words, Zechreinu l'chaim, what kind of a life are we asking for? A life that the king wants us to live. A life of Kedusha, life of Ruchnius. What says the Chofetz Chaim? In order for a Yid to have Ruchnius, he needs the Gashmius also. A Yid has to have money. He has to be able to buy food for Shabbos.
And Kemach and Torah.
He has to be able to buy food. He has to be able to pay for yeshivas. He has to be able to pay
for the koilin.
Luav, Esrig, all mitzvahs. What does a Yid need Parnasa for? A Yid needs Parnasa to do mitzvahs. So Mespal to Hashem, give us a life that you want us to live. But in order for us to live a life that Hashem wants us to live, need parnasa. Help us. A life that you want. Eloik Mispalo for Ruchnius, for Gashmius, it's all totally Zebezeh. Because a Yid's Ruchnius is totally in the Gashmius. A person needs in order to be able to fulfill his Ruchnius. So instead of waiting till Rosh Hashanah, there's still time left in Chodesh Elul to take advantage of Chodesh Elul. The pasuk says later on, "V'shav Hashem Olkecha Shivuscha V'richamecha."
I'm sorry, the story with the Divna Magid in the hotel, was it tied to a certain pasuk? Rabbi said in the beginning, or
I tell you the truth, I'm not sure which pasuk the Divna Magid tied it to, yeah. But I just said it on
in
the pasuk.
Omol
Hashem Olkecha Shivuscha V'richamecha. It fits. It must be like you're doing tshuva and so on. It can fit in with any pasuk of doing tshuva as well. V'shav Hashem Olkecha Shivuscha V'richamecha V'shav V'kibetzcha Mikol Amin. Perek Lamed Pasuk Gimel. The Chofetz Chaim, your sides tonight. The Chofetz Chaim says, fascinating. If you ask a person, is Mashiach coming? Yeah, Mashiach's coming. Is he really coming? Deep down, everyone starts thinking, Magnus Mashiach.
No doubt.
So the Chofetz Chaim, there are three reasons that people think the Mashiach is not so fast, not coming so fast. One reason he says is because a person thinks we don't have enough Ma'asim Tovim. We don't have enough mitzvahs to bring Mashiach, do we? We don't have enough. You need a treasure to bring Mashiach. We don't have a treasure load of mitzvahs to bring Mashiach. Second reason people think is if the time didn't come, there's a time for Mashiach to come, and it's not yet the time. Well, if it's not the time, what can we do? And the third reason people think is if the earlier generations couldn't bring Mashiach, this generation is going to bring Mashiach. With all our Yetzirah and our Taivis, and we know who we are, we're going to be Mashiach when the Gedolim and the earlier generations couldn't be Mashiach. People get a little bit, Zabrach, how are we going to be Mashiach? Says the Chofetz Chaim, all three reasons are false. All three are not true. A person says, we don't have enough Ma'asim Tovim. The Medrash brings down in Pasha Shemois, the Medrash says that when Hashem wants to bring the Gula, Hashem doesn't look at how many Ma'asim the person did, Hashem brings the Gula. When a person, Hashem sees that we want the Gula to come, and people act appropriately, Mashiach will come. We don't have a treasure trove of Ma'asim Tovim, that's not our cheshbon. When Hashem wants to bring the Gula, we'll bring the Gula. People say it's not the time for Mashiach. So that we know that there are two Zmanim, but the Pasuk and the Neil, Bita and Achishenu. There is a set time for Mashiach to come, but we could also bring Mashiach earlier. If we do mitzvahs, and we behave properly, we do tshuva, Mashiach can come earlier. So a person should never say, it's not yet the time for Mashiach, because Mashiach can come at any time. And as far as the third question goes, how could this generation bring Mashiach? If the earlier generations that were sold were such higher levels, I think Gemara compares the earlier generations to Malachim, we compare to Chamayrim, the Gemara compares already in the time of the Gemara, they were compared to Chamayrim. Imagine what we're compared to. How are we going to bring Mashiach? That is the Chofetz Chaim, the famous answer. We have all of this chusim together. We're not riding by ourselves, but we're riding on top of their shoulders. We're sitting on the shoulders of giants. We're sitting on the shoulders of all of the great people from the earlier generations.
I'm getting his
chusim. Amos chusim on top of theirs chusim on top of theirs chusim. It gets high. Each generation builds higher and higher and higher. So it's not just us. It's all the divers together bringing Mashiach. We're riding on the shoulders of giants. And that's also how they explain that we can sometimes answer a kasha. Ricky Vega had a kasha. He said Tzorchi and Godel, and somebody in a later generation comes up with the Teretz.
How's that possible?
Because we're standing on Ricky Vega's shoulders. We're not starting from the ground. We're standing on his shoulders already.
Toysus asks a question and I answer it.
Yes, it's possible.
See?
It's possible. Anything's possible. It's possible. Because you're standing on top of Toysus, on top of the Achronim who burnt the Toysus, on top of everybody else, standing high up.
Today you bring a great Marsho, I have to tell you. It was a great Marsho. It's a great Marsho. You brought it up.
Marsho says. Okay.
He's right. It was a great Marsho.
Okay, Shkaich. So, but we're standing on top of shoulders. Says the Chofetz Chaim. When a person says those words, you should have in mind that Hashem should help him for whatever tzara he's in. Whatever tzara he has, a person should daven for Yeshua from the tzara that he has. And these are a school that works. A person has in mind when he says those words, to have Yeshua for his any tzara that he has. The pasuk says later on, "Kikarav elecha hadava ma'od beficha uvelavavcha lasaisli." Perek lamed pasuk yudalid.
Goodbye to look
again. Yes, pasuk says. That Torah is not b'shamayim hi, Torah is not me'ev l'yom hi, Torah is not up in heaven, Torah is not across the ocean, but it's available for everybody to take. Yikar v'lech ha'adov ha'moed, it's very close, yifich l'ov ha'chos, it's up to you to do so. I know I said this story over last year, but the lesson is so powerful. Chassid once came to his Rebbe, and he said to the Rebbe, how can I be zeicher to gil Eliyahu? I want to see Eliyahu Hanavi. How can I be zeicher to see Eliyahu Hanavi? Okay, so we all know stories and stories. The Rebbe told him, Rosh Hashanah is coming up. Travel to this town, and in this town there's an amana by the name of so-and-so, and I want you to go with your wife and bring a wagon load of food to the house of this amana for Yom Tov, and I want you to spend Yom Tov in that town, and you'll be zeicher. No, the Rebbe said, zeicher given to Yo, if he takes a wagon load of food and goes to this amana's house for Rosh Hashanah, as soon as comes home, he tells his wife the good news, they load up a wagon with food for an army, and they start traveling to this town. They come into the town, he stops, the first person he sees says, excuse me, where does the Amona so-and-so live? And they tell him, there are two Amonas by that name in this town.
Oh, no.
There's Amona 1 and Amona 2. So he says, what else can you tell me about them? Well, one of them lives by herself, and one has four Yisraelim. So, some of the Rebbe meant, the one with the four Yisraelim, told him to bring a lot of food, he means the one with the four Yisraelim. Where does she live? He finds out the address, and he goes with his wife and a wagon load of food, Erev Rosh Hashanah in the afternoon, he pulls up in front of the Amona's house with the four Yisraelim. He knocks on the door, and the Amona answers the door, what can I do for you? He says, we'd like to stay with you for Rosh Hashanah. She looks and she says, are you out of your mind? There's no food in the house, I have nothing to eat. I can barely take care of my children. He says, don't worry, look, here's a wagon load of food, and he opens the cab, and there's food, everything's there. And she says, there's one slight problem. I have no beds in the house. Nowhere for you. We'll sleep on the floor. No problem. And he and his wife unload the wagon and take out all the yom tov food. They bring it into the house. And the four children are the simcha. They never saw so much food before. And they set the table for yom tov. And this chassid is mamish on the high. It is waiting. When is he going to see Eliyahu Hanavi? He did what the Rebbe told him. Misameach da'amono, the four yisoyimim. When is Eliyahu Hanavi coming? The first night goes by, and the first day goes by, and the second day goes by. He makes Avdol Matzi Yom Tov, and there's no Eliyahu Hanavi. Nope. Okay, he says to his wife, we must have not followed the instructions. We might have missed something. Okay, he says goodbye to the Amonim. They summon thank him very much. He leaves over all the extra food, and he and his wife get into the wagon, they go back. Comes straight running into the Rebbe the next day. Rebbe, I followed the instructions exactly as he said. And it wasn't Zoicha. There was no Giluyol. There was no Eliyahu Hanavi. What happened? The Rebbe said, tell me exactly what you did. He tells him, came to town, the Rebbe says, good. I want you to do the same Erev Yom Kippur. Erev Yom Kippur do the exact same thing. I want you to come to the Amona's house, Erev Yom Kippur, bring a wagon load of food, stay there for Yom Kippur, and make sure they have what to eat before Yom Kippur, and Motzah Yom Kippur, and he'll be Zoicha. Chassid said, okay. Calls Moses' wife, the Rebbe said, we have to do the same for Yom Kippur. They pack up the wagon, they fill it up with food, and again they take the same trip, and they arrive Erev Yom Kippur in the afternoon, they arrive Erev Yom Kippur in the town. They know where the Amona lives before Yisraelim. They come straight to the house, and he says to his wife, I don't know, we did the same thing last week, Erev Rosh Hashanah. I don't know, when are we going to see Eliyahu Hanavi? And he walks up to his wife to knock on the door. As he's about to knock on the door, he hears one of the children say to the mother, Ma, tomorrow's a fast day. There's no food in the house. We don't have what to eat. What's going to be? It's getting late. And his mother says to him, don't worry. The same way Hashem sent us Eliyahu Hanavi with food and Erev Rosh Hashanah, Hashem will send Eliyahu Hanavi with food today. There's nothing to worry about. The chassid heard that. He understood.
Cool. Very
food. End of story.
That's an emes to Gilayel.
It's a beautiful story.
Yeah.
Beautiful story. Person thinks, Gilayel, I have to see Eliyahu Hanavi, otherwise I can't be at a high, I can't accomplish.
Become Eliyahu Hanavi.
Okay. Person doesn't have to see Eliyahu. Avada is a madrigo, 100%. But every person themselves has within them to rise to great heights, to accomplish great things. Sometimes we hold ourselves back. Fakert, doing a chet with somebody else, bringing food to somebody else. In their eyes, you're Eliyahu Hanavi. You can rise to such great heights. Doesn't mean you have to see Eliyahu Hanavi. A person goes ahead and he cares for somebody else, helps somebody else, gives zeichet to his own Eliyahu, realizing that he has tremendous potential within him that a person can bring out. It's close to you. A person can achieve great, great madrigas, great heights. It's up to you what a person wants to do. I think it's a very nice story. So, just to end off, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara in Brachos, famous Gemara. Said it's over also, I think it's also very powerful.
I remember the first one.
Tell your own obvious story?
No.
No?
I don't remember it either.
No?
No.
I know, I said, I know. I,
yes,
know.
I come to every
No, I don't remember.
Okay.
Okay. We have a base in here.
Okay. I know it's over. It's a beautiful story, yeah?
It's a beautiful story.
Unbelievable.
I saw it
in my notes, so I don't remember where I saw it.
Good, come on.
The Gemara in Brachos, famous story. Gemara in Brachos, I think it's Dafyat Ches. Gemara brings down, he was a chassid, a year of hunger, and he gave a dina to the Ani for tzedakah. And his wife got upset at him that he gave money to the Ani in a year of hunger.
Let's go to the pargo.
And it was the night of Rosh Hashanah, and she got upset at him. The kids in the Gemara says he left the house, and he slept in the cemetery in the base of Gemara. And what happened? He hears the two young girls, the neshama, speaking to each other. And he hears the inside information for the year. He hears that this year, whoever plants early, the crops will be destroyed. The wind will come, destroy the crops. If you want the crops to be successful this year, plant late in the season.
No,
Brachos, Yudches. Yudches and the Mace, Masechet Brachos.
It's easy to remember. Yudches is for the
Mace. Yudches.
Highest of the Mace.
He comes home after Rosh Hashanah, and that year, instead of planting early like everybody else, he plants late. Everybody else's crops are destroyed. His crops are saved. It's a very successful year. Next year comes Rosh Hashanah. He figured, you know, last year I had a good, I got inside information in the cemetery. It's a good place to spend the night.
I'm going to fight with her.
He goes back to the cemetery the next year, and he spends the night Rosh Hashanah in the cemetery. This time he hears the two neshama speaking to each other. And one says to the other, you know what I heard? This year, it's going to be the other way around. Whoever plants early will be successful. Whoever plants late, the crops will be destroyed. No. Inside information. So that year, everybody did in reverse. They planted late, because last year, planting late was good. But he planted early, and his crop is very successful. Everybody else's crop is destroyed. He has two successful years in a row. Comes the next year, his wife says to him, what's your secret? For 2 years in a row, you were successful. And everybody else didn't have a good year. What's his secret?
So she nudges him,
and she finds out that it's a cemetery secret. The kid says she goes to the mother of one of the girls. She tells the mother that she tells over the story.
Your daughter is buried in reeds,
and the neshama is still coming down to this world. And the kids, the neshamas find out that what they're saying is being overheard. And they decide that year they're not going to say
any more information, no more secrets.
And that year he doesn't have any inside information, and he's like everybody else. Mar Brachos. There's a Pirish called the Ian Yaakov, and he says.
He said it last year.
I know.
He moved it.
Yeah.
It's on.
Okay, I know he said it last
year. Very good.
Okay. And the
Ian
Yaakov says over Pshatnis Mora, half of
everyone.
And he says, what happened? Because what schos did he have that he had 2 years of Parnassah, he was very successful.
Yeah.
What schos did he have? He slept in a cemetery, he hears the neshama speaking, the whole story sounds exciting, a little from the next world. And he says, what happened was, his wife was upset at him. This schos knew if he stays home,
he's going to fight with her.
It's going to become a screaming match, the night of Rosh Hashanah. It's going to be a big fight. Major machlokes. He decided the only thing to do was to go and calm down, leave. So maybe he left in a nice way. He said, I'll come back. He has to calm down. And he walked out of the house. And then he thought to himself, where should I go? I can go to this relative. I go to this neighbor.
He says,
but if I go there, they're going to ask me, why aren't you eating at home? What happened? And my wife, the sir will come up. My wife is upset that I gave it to Stalker. And she'll be embarrassed. So in order not to embarrass his wife, he decided to sleep in a place where nobody will know that he went there. Nobody's around. And he went to the cemetery. Says the Ein Yaakov, he was zeich to 2 years of Hatzlacha because he didn't want to embarrass his wife. He wanted to protect her covet.
And he gave
to
that.
And he was zeich to those 2 years of Parnassa. Comes Rosh Hashanah time. This is the Ikker and this is the Tafel. He seems to get a little bit carried away with the Tafel. The Simonim, everything is as Makar, everything is Kaidish. But the ikar is the ikar. The ikar is to be a mensch. The ikar is when things don't work out the way you want, and it's running late, or it's not on time, or the davening is taking a little bit too long, and no one's ready, and whatever could and does happen, like we all know, in Rosh Hashanah, over Yom Tov, things do get a little bit sometimes hectic. The ikar is, remember, not to be upset. The ikar is the Yom Adin. The person should take it in their proper stride. Now we always say over, we don't eat nuts on Rosh Hashanah. Ego is big mashri is chait. But people forget that chait is also big mashri is chait. Don't do averis because chait also. The school is right away, Kodesh Kedoshim. But chait is also big mashri is chait. Be careful, comes Rosh Hashanah. The proper attitude. A person who is calm, doesn't judge others harshly Rosh Hashanah. He judges others favorably, he's judged favorably as well. Me, the way we judge others, that's how we judge. So, ich kann auch mit solchen. Ich bin mit Teufel, ich bin mit Teufel, and Hashem, like we said, this year it's called with Shrend, Tachu Shana Baruch Hashem, the year should start with this brachus, Zeichet only to the fullest, Yeshua, Slachavis, and Shiyah, Bula, Yer Mashiach, Shreichet, Mashiach, Mehev, Yemenu, Amen.